Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. Jackie Hankins on behalf of Petitioner In Contact, Inc. The question before the Court today is whether the FCC acted arbitrarily and capriciously when it rubber-stamped the Wireline Competition Bureau's unlawful rulemaking and acceptance of USAC's ultra-virus interpretation of FCC rules by treating a five-year delayed USAC invoice for USF fees as a decision under FCC rules which grant USF contributors 60 days to appeal a USAC decision. Now, by treating the belated invoice as a decision, the Bureau dismissed In Contact's petition seeking to invalidate the invoice because it was filed over 60 days after the invoice date. By rubber stamping the Bureau's unlawful actions.
Just leave the rubber stamp, it's just sort of an implication.
Okay. By.
I think we would all agree if it was merely rubber stamp, maybe you would win, but that's really the question. But so the issue is an invoice a decision under Rule 54.720, correct?
Correct.
If it's not, what is a decision?
A decision is,
what would a decision by USAC be if it's not the invoice?
USAC regularly issues decisions. When a contributor appeals a matter to USAC, USAC will issue a decision which says, we have considered the merits of your...
Yes, but you never did appeal. So the FCC points out there is a rule about appeals, that's 54.720D. Says if you file an appeal within USAC, the time is tolled until they reach a decision. But if the time is tolled, that must mean some decision is being tolled. What decision is being tolled where there is no appeal? In this case, there was no appeal.
Well, that is the issue, is that the FCC's rules do not address this situation. They don't
have Part A.
Correct.
Which says an affected person has to appeal a decision within 60 days, and Part D that says if you file a request for review, then the time is tolled. So we know until the later decision. So we know what the later decision is the implication that if you don't file, there is no time tolled, and the invoice is the decision, Part A.
That's what the FCC would have you believe, but the problem is that this is not what the FCC's rules say. They do not say that you have 60 days to appeal an invoice. They say you have 60 days to appeal a decision.
Well, I ask you again, in your case, what was the decision?
There was no decision.
No decision at all. So you could have waited 100 years?
Theoretically, under the FCC's rules, yes, because the FCC...
You don't think that's sort of an arbitrary and capricious argument?
I don't think that's...
Not technically an arbitrary.
Not technically. Yes, there's no specific time limit, but that's something that, yes, the FCC could set a time limit. They haven't.
Okay.
Now, you didn't make this argument before the FCC, did you? This argument that the invoice is not a decision.
We did. Essentially, we filed an application for review of the Bureau's decision with the FCC and seeking to overturn it because they improperly treated the invoice as a decision.
But you didn't make it before the Competition Bureau, did you?
We did not because there was no reason to make it before the Wireless Competition Bureau. What we filed with the Wireless Competition Bureau was seeking to invalidate the invoice because it was issued 5 years after the revenues were earned. So what's happened by the FCC adopting the Bureau's unlawful actions is that the FCC is effectively avoiding addressing the substantive issue that In Contact raised in this petition, which was whether USAC can continue to reach back in time and issue invoices on revenues earned at any time in the past.
Well, I don't see how they've avoided it. They've answered it. They said, for purposes of 47 CFR 54.720, USAC's invoice is a decision by the administrator.
What I'm referring to is In Contact's underlying petition. What happened here is In Contact filed a petition with the Wireline Competition Bureau seeking to invalidate this invoice because it was issued 5 years after the revenues were earned upon which the assessments were made. The Wireline Competition Bureau then dismissed that petition as untimely because it was filed over 60 days after the invoice date. Then we filed, my client In Contact, a petition or an application for review of that Wireline Competition Bureau decision. And it's that application for review that was denied by the FCC when it upheld the Bureau's order.
Well, What's the problem? I'm not sure. If the FCC is correct that the invoice is the decision, what's wrong with the result?
Well, the result is that the FCC doesn't consider the underlying petition
that
we filed. That's
true. I hate to be harsh about this, but that's true any time somebody misses a filing deadline. You miss a filing deadline, you don't get a decision on the underlying issue.
Absolutely. But in this case, I would submit that what the FCC has done has created a procedural excuse to avoid addressing this issue because it's a very big issue.
Procedural excuse is another way of saying you missed the deadline. Is that what you mean?
That's what the FCC would say, but I wouldn't say that we missed the deadline because what they did was improperly apply the term decision, submitting that an invoice qualifies as a decision.
So everything in the case really depends on that question.
It does. And the issue is that it was the Bureau, not the FCC. The Bureau is the one that treated the invoice as a decision, and the Bureau in treating the invoice as a decision relied upon USAC instructions that it claimed appeared on the back of invoices, which they did not. And even if they did appear on the back of invoices, that's a USAC interpretation of FCC rules. USAC can't interpret FCC rules, and the FCC can't rely upon that.
Well, the FCC can't interpret it, and they say in their opinion, the FCC opinion, for purposes of 47 CFR 54.7, to USAC's invoice is a decision by the administrator. That's the FCC's view, citing for it the Big River case.
You're correct. The issue with the Big River case is that the Big River case was a Bureau-level decision, and that Bureau-level decision, the way that it came up with that was by citing to USAC instructions. And USAC cannot interpret FCC rules. These USAC instructions were interpreting FCC rules. So that's part of the problem. The big problem is that the FCC, in reaching this decision, it didn't interpret its rules. It just adopted the Bureau's decision. The FCC is authorized to interpret rules, but the Bureau is not. That's one issue. The other issue is that even if you accept the argument that the FCC was merely interpreting its rules by treating an invoice as a decision, it cannot interpret its rules. Its interpretation is entitled to no deference if the term isn't ambiguous. The term decision is not ambiguous. We all know what a decision means. It means something that you consider and you arrive at after thoughtful consideration.
A decision that you owe money reflected in an invoice?
An invoice is just a listing of fees owed. There's no decision.
You don't have to make a decision before you issue an invoice?
Invoice itself is not a decision. It's just numbers listed on a page.
Does it reflect how much you owe?
It reflects how much they claim you owe.
And doesn't that require a decision about how much you owe?
I don't believe so, because
really?
It's just...
they just randomly pick numbers out of the air?
but it's automatically generated. There's no one, this is...
So pushing a button on the computer is not a decision.
No, I would submit that
it's not. The computer has just taken over the world here.
Yeah, exactly.
When my credit card company sends me a bill for interest, that's not a decision because that was calculated by the computer and not.
I would say that's not a decision. It doesn't involve cognitive reasoning.
I have as long as I want to appeal that decision.
Well, it depends on what the rule is in that case. The other issue is, even if you would accept the argument that the term decision is ambiguous, the FCC's interpretation of the term is plainly erroneous because an invoice is not a decision for the reasons I just described. Thank you. I'd like to reserve.
I have a question.
Yes.
On page 5 of your brief, you state, putting quotations around it, that somebody from USAC told In Contact that it need not pay the invoice on the due date identified, but rather could, quote, take a couple months. Where does that quotation come from?
That was a misstatement, Your Honor. I apologize for that. What does appear in the affidavit of Kim Partridge with In Contact is that USAC did state that they could take some time to review the invoice.
The back of the invoice said that, too.
The back of the invoice
said that also.
Back of the invoice didn't say that. What's going on? There is an issue that the FCC claims that USAC invoices had instructions on how to dispute a charge and that you could only appeal within 60 days. But in fact, the back of the invoice does not say that.
The invoice says that you have 15 days to seek review.
15 days to seek review of the charges with USAC.
Right.
But it does not refer to the FCC rules or specifically talk about the right to appeal.
This just takes some time. Take 2 weeks.
Take some time before addressing it with USAC, but it doesn't say anything about your specific appeal rights under FCC rules.
Was the person told about appeal rights?
But we're not talking about FCC rules here. I mean, the statement that you made deals with what USAC said, not the FCC, not the Wireless Bureau, what USAC said. And all I said is that USAC gave correct information. It can take some time. The back of the invoice says you have 15 days before you have to seek review.
That is true. The reason that I brought this point up in the brief is that it's to demonstrate that, in fact, if USAC and or the FCC had a policy of treating an invoice as a decision, that would have been something that I would expect them to have raised when they asked the question about when they would need to, what their rights were with respect to the invoice. I would expect USAC to say, you know, it's our policy to treat this as a decision, therefore you must appeal within 60 days. Thank you.
Hear from the FCC.
May it please the court. In contact's request for review that it filed with the commission, it states on page 32 of the joint appendix that when a contributor is seeking review of a billing matter with USAC, that the appeal must be filed with USAC within 60 days of issuance of USAC's assessment decision. In contact then cites to section 54.720 of the FCC's rules. When you look at that rule, it in turn says that an appeal of a billing matter to USAC must be filed within 60 days of the administrator's decision. At the time a contributor, like in contact, is seeking review at USAC of an administrator decision, the only thing that exists is the invoice itself. And the invoice is the decision that in contact was asking the commission in this case to review. And for the purposes of seeking initial review of a USAC action by the commission, the only administrator decision is the invoice. And that, and in this case,
who is making the decision?
For the issuing the invoice,
right.
USAC as an entity.
Who in USAC makes this decision?
Well, there's a finance department that generates invoices for all of the four different programs, and the programs themselves, like schools and library, those are administered by the divisions, but the billing and collection matters, those are just handled by USAC as an entity, and there's a division that issues those. But in this case,
the money involved is the tax that's, for lack of a better word, that's imposed on these companies into a fund.
Yes, it's FCC. There.
And this is where we heard in the last election, Obama funds. This is where Obama funds come from.
Yes, they're a part of. The bills are seeking contributions, and when USAC issues an invoice, that invoice is a conclusive determination that the contributor owes that amount, unless the contributor successfully disputes it. And that's what In Contact attempted to have the FCC do here, is to overturn USAC's assessment decision.
So you're saying they treated it as a decision at the first level, is that right?
Yes, and they.
So that raises the question I asked with your opposing counsel, the waiver argument. You bury a waiver argument in footnote 10 of your brief. Is that because you don't think it's that persuasive, or
The...
In footnote 10 of your brief, you make an argument that they have waived the argument that they are raising now because they haven't raised it before. In fact, below, before the WCB, they took the view that an invoice was a decision, and now they're arguing for the first time that it was not.
Yes, the argument that they that footnote is addressing that they've waived is this all of the business about the conversation that they had with USAC, the Kim Partridge declaration that they put in the record as if that would have excused their inability for filing timely at USAC their request for review of the invoice.
So you're not saying that they've waived the argument that a decision is invoice is not a decision?
They have not waived the commission's and the Bureau and the commission's reading of its rule.
What does, on the same sort of point, in the FCC's opinion, it says the Bureau properly decided the matters raised, we uphold its decision for the reasons stated in its order, and then it says, to the extent that the application for review raises new arguments not previously presented to the Bureau, those arguments are barred by Section 1.115C. What is it talking about?
It's talking about the, in part, about the Kim Partridge declaration. That was only filed in its application for review where in contact claimed that someone at USAC informed it that it could
So you're not arguing that in contact only raised the argument that they were raising before us now, that they didn't raise that before the WCB, you're not making the argument that they waived that argument?
No, because the commission expressly
I thought that's
interpreted its rule. But the commission did not even consider in contact's arguments relating to USAC, that USAC had informed it that it could take more than 60 days to file any appeal. Under the commission's rule, the appeal must be filed within 60 days, regardless of whether you go to USAC or the
FCC. Maybe we're talking past each other. In footnote 10, in contact never presented to the Bureau its primary argument on appeal, that a USAC invoice may not be properly treated as an administrator decision within the meaning of the commission's rules.
Correct. Okay. And had the commission itself not interpreted the rule in upholding the Bureau's decision, all the Bureau did was implicitly determine that an invoice is a decision for the purposes of seeking review. That's implicit in the Bureau's order, and the commission also read its rule that same way in the order on review and determined that as the Bureau had found in the Big River case, the invoice starts the clock for seeking review at USAC. In this case, the commission said that the invoice also starts the clock for seeking review at the FCC of a billing matter that is of a USAC billing matter. And so that is the only thing that is before the commission when it's reviewing USAC's action. The January 23rd invoice is not even in the record in this case. And so what the commission was reviewing is the administrator's assessment decision. In contact came to the FCC to have the commission overturn USAC's assessment action. That is the decision that was before the FCC. And in contact was required to seek review of that decision within 60 days of issuance of the invoice.
So I want to be clear. So the only issue that you think that is waived is the discussion of this Kim Partridge affidavit. Is that right?
Yes, anything that's unrelated, any argument that is not related to the commission's interpretation of its rule.
What about their argument about notice, that they didn't know that that was the interpretation of the rule? Is that, did they make that argument before the FCC?
They did not make that before. They did not make that argument before the Bureau. They didn't make any of those arguments.
So was that waived or not waived? So just to put it in sort of a legal context, the FCC has the authority to assert regulatory exhaustion, and if they do, we usually uphold that. But if the argument is actually made to them, they can't assert statutory exhaustion under 405, correct?
Correct.
All right, so this argument, this other argument we haven't really discussed yet, that they didn't know that Big River wasn't enough of a notice, did they make that argument to the FCC?
No, they did not make
that. They didn't make it to the FCC, then we have a 405 problem and we're jurisdictionally barred from looking at it, is that right?
That is correct.
All right. Is there anything else, like any other arguments that they didn't make?
To
the FCC.
To the FCC, other than Big River, no, because only the FCC cited the Big River decision in its order, and Incontact did not file a petition for reconsideration before.
If they had paid the invoice, could they still contest it?
Yes.
So the time limit is only on the time limit only stops the penalties from running during the period of consideration if in fact there is a, if they seek review within the 60-day period, that then the penalties don't kick in.
No, Your Honor, it's not like a credit card bill that if you dispute it, then you don't owe the money. At USAC, if you do not pay a USAC invoice by the due date, which is usually 30 days, you start accruing interest. Even if you appeal, and if you are successful in your appeal, then you get that money back. But USAC has a pay and dispute policy, and so you have to pay even if you dispute it.
I see. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there rebuttal time left? We'll give you another couple minutes.
Just to follow up on the point that Your Honor's raised regarding notice.
Yes.
The issue of notice is that Incontact did not have notice that the invoice would be treated as a decision. Big River
was... So the question I had was, did you make that argument to the FCC?
We did make the argument to the FCC that we were denied due process. We didn't have notice that this is how it would be treated.
And where was that?
I was actually just looking.
Two places are Joint Appendix 32 and 93.
Don't worry about it. We'll look.
Yeah, I
it's all right. We'll look at those pages.
I know that we did discuss due process. I'm just trying to I was trying to find the specific argument. But that is the issue with notice. It's the Big River case, did not provide notice. That the Bureau didn't have the authority to create a rule And because the Bureau doesn't have authority to create a rule, it didn't have the authority to adopt a policy that established a rule treating an invoice as a decision. Therefore, the FCC can't say that we should have looked to Big River and we had noticed that this rule was in effect because of Big River.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll take the case under submission.